Infowars.com/show.
Once again by another moon mission.
M-O-O-N, it spells moon.
And no one could agree on whether Trump is doing the right thing. And that's why we have shows like this, like The War Room, to talk about these issues, because these are issues no one's going to bring up. Like this. So I guess Viktor Orban lost, and I tweeted this a couple days ago. Europe's going to need more countries to start, or needs more countries to start housing and paying for migrants. You can see what's happening in the UK. You can see what's happening in Ireland. People are sick of it. They're revolting. I think there's a guy, see if you can find it, someone in the Irish Parliament just resigned over what's happening right now. They're like, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to be sending troops to you know, beat up citizens. And since these are all from, this is from yesterday, Hungary, new government needs to restore the rule of law. Oh, what's the rule of law? Opening up your borders to migrants. It means following the EU and what they say to do. There it is right there. Restore assembly rights. Basically what they want them to do is start taking in migrants. That's what's going on. So you're going to see at some point they're going to open their door to migrants. I didn't mark these earlier. I marked them on the computer, but then they didn't. I thought these were going to print out with the marks on them. They didn't do it. But I had the spots where they. In fact, I'll find these and we'll go over. I'll go over these later in the show because I want you to read what they say of what, especially what the new leader is saying about what he's going to do with migrants. This is very important. That's Peter Maigar of the Tisza party. And I think there's pictures of him wearing a yarmulke. So I'm not sure if that makes him Jewish or if he's just wearing the yarmulke to be, you know, part of the club. Yeah, I got to find that. Because you got really got to read what he says about the migrants. He's like, oh no, we're not going to open our borders up. Oh, here it is. Yeah. On migration, Tisza is expected to tone down what has been Orban's vitriolic rhetoric on refugees' rights and willingness to compromise on certain issues. And, of course, there's a $200 million fine that Hungary has been paying over its refusal to uphold the rights of asylum seekers in breach of EU law. So that's what they're talking about, the rule of law. EU saying, hey, you have to let in migrants. And the people are going, you know, Hungary's going, no, we'll just pay the fine. Tisza has signaled he will retain a hard line on border protection, including maintaining a controversial border fence and opposing relocation quotas. What we won't see is Orban's high-profile anti-immigration campaigning and civilization rhetoric. We will also not see him rushing to the border to get rid of the fence that Orban built as his first act. Yeah. See, it's coming. He was supported by all kinds of voters, and so while he is a little more right-wing, he'll have to consider different needs. He will toll down symbolic issues on culture and migration, but he is unlikely to move towards major liberal issues. Oh, yeah. Right. What you saw in Hungary, which is why J.D. Vance went down there to campaign for him, is a massive media campaign. And you can see what the media has done here. The media has got everybody at each other's throats because they need people fighting. They need people out in the streets seeing what you... Because only the media could train people and to make it seem like it's okay that a giant hobgoblin-like ogre person would push a little woman like Savannah Hernandez to the ground really hard for no reason. She wasn't even attacking them. She was saying, hey, don't blow your whistle in my ear, that type of thing. So we'll get into that. But let's go to your calls real quick. We're going to go to Tim in Seattle, but first we got a quick clip of Tim from yesterday going after the Bill Gates Foundation. Go ahead. Let's play that clip. Oh, we don't have audio? Oh, it's playing real slow, too. It's probably the computer's dying. All right, let's just go to Tim. Tim, sorry, I tried to give you a good intro, but man, the rain... Are things just moving really slow in Seattle? Is that how it's supposed to look? That slow?
Maybe. It's I'd be there right now since you said that, but it's just raining. It would kill all the audio equipment. But I don't know how America is dealing with all this tyranny. We're realizing that the rug is being pulled out from underneath us time and time again, over and over again, by the people that we trusted. We exhibited our desperation. They know that we're at the 11th hour, and yet they still rug us and rug us and rug us. I don't know how people are dealing with it. For myself, going out with the bullhorn is the only thing I could possibly... I mean, I know that they want the Civil War. They want us to have violence in the streets. They've spent trillions of dollars to try to get us to that point. Now, I don't want to give it to them, but I don't know how the rest of the United States is dealing with all this stress. How do you get it off your chest, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do it? I suggest getting a bullhorn. If you're pulling your hair out, if you're angry at your family, if you're snapping at your coworkers and stuff, maybe you need to do that at the globalists. Maybe you should do that to them.
Yep. I would say bullhorning's good. Taking a walk is good. Exercising's good. I try to ride my bike at least 40 miles a week. Even, you know, we're having kind of rainy weather here. Not quite like Seattle, but it's still a bit rainy. And, you know, you have to get this stuff off your chest and find other things to do. And don't dwell. A lot of the stuff you're not going to be able to change. You know, change the things you can change and have the wisdom to know the difference. You know, because there's some things you can't change. It's a serenity prayer I just butchered. But, you know, how are we dealing with it? I would say find people that you wouldn't normally be, you know, friends with, and see if you can come up with a dialogue. Start dialoguing with people, because we have to change people's minds to realize that the person across the street from is not their enemy. The person down the street from, the person working at the grocery store is not their enemy. You know, we're all in the same boat, but they've got us sitting there fighting in the lifeboat over, you know, three life jackets when we're all sitting in a boat. But they're like, oh, you have to fight over these life jackets. And it's like, no, you just have to like pull together and start paddling. That's what we have to do. Go ahead, Tim.
We aim into that, brother. We got to paddle and paddle hard away from the rocks. And that's what I've been advocating for, is for the InfoWars army, the people that have the knowledge. I mean, what good is all this knowledge if you're not going out there and disseminating it to the people that you think are your political enemies, who are just your community? They're your fellow Americans who have been brainwashed.
Yeah.
And, you know, The overall arc is that, you know, to think that the podcasters are going to save us is just retarded. It's going to be the United States people. It's going to be we the people that are going to do anything to stop this, or we're not going to. But if the podcaster army isn't going to ride and stop these orcs, it's going to be us.
But just understand, it's a multi-billion-dollar machine that is in effect right now, and it's a global machine that is making these people fight with each other. It's conditioning them that the person on the opposite side of the political spectrum is their enemy. And I guarantee, if you started looking at issues, especially health issues, people would be like, oh yeah, I want clean water too. Oh yeah, I want clean water too. You know, there's all kinds of issues that people agree upon. Maybe we don't agree on free healthcare, you know, because personally I look at it as there is no free healthcare. Somebody's paying for it. And then do you really want the government to give you free healthcare? Do you really want the government in your business? Because I don't think you do, but that's just me.
The word for the government is the eugenics industrial complex.
Yeah. Yeah.
God bless, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do, Tim. I every time I see you out there bullhorning, I retweet it, and people should do that too, because we need more people. We need like 150 Tim Lasleys out there bullhorning the Gates Foundation. In fact, I have this clip here. It's Albert Bourla, Bill Gates, Fauci, Peter Hotez, Peter Marks, Aish Jha, and Tedros all saying, hey, there's a new pandemic coming. Because you know why? You know why they're out there saying that? Because we didn't punish them the last time they tried to destroy the entire world economy with their fake bullcrap bioweapon that they put out and made people, you know, set up the tracking and tracing grid and set up the testing locations and do all that. That was all a test run for the new thing that they're going to try to push down your throats. And here they are talking about it. This is clip five.
COVID was, for me, like a rehearsal.
There will absolutely be an outbreak of another pandemic. It may be next year.
You know, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles, and some are very self-assembly.
We know what's next. A new wave of pandemics is going to be upon us.
I'm convinced that there will be another pandemic.
Oh, certainly we'll have one in the next 25 years. You know, there's even some pathogens out there that we're watching over right now.
And so I probably took bioterror, which is a really awful.
We are going to see a whole new age of biological weapons. We have to grapple with that reality because that is what is coming.
I can't go into all the details, but there are man-made threats that we were prepared to deal with.
When the next pandemic comes, Noki, and it will, we must be ready to answer decisively.
You know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is, will get attention this time.
God. I mean, just look at the duper's delight on Bill, especially Bill Gates. Guys, if you could just go back to the middle spot where it's that close-up of Bill Gates and he's smiling, just get me a still of that because that's your enemy right there. That's the enemy of humanity. That is a man that wants, not that one, it's more close-up. He's like bending that one right there. Look at that. Find where he's smiling. Look at that. Oh, that's an evil man right there. I mean, he can't wait. He can't wait to kill billions of people. There it is. There it is. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the face. That's the face right there of an evil scientist that always wants to stack the deck in his favor and kill you in the process. Let's go to Lynn in Ohio. Melania Trump on the list Charlie was on. Go ahead, Lynn, explain.
Yes, sir. In my day, a man could plead temporary insanity. And I think Trump is temporarily insane because Mr. Alex, he told us that they had been separated. And that's a terrible feeling to have somebody you thought was going to be there to the end with you, and they're walking out, you know. So I can understand why he is, you know, just don't give a damn.
But, oh, so you think Melania is sort of separating herself from him. We haven't seen any, like, public reports of that. I know Jones talked about that on Sean Johnson's podcast and as well on InfoWars, I believe, on his Saturday show. That he did his Saturday special broadcast. He has brought that out. We haven't seen that come out in the news, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I mean, Jones's sources so far, and especially in the last year, have been like spot on every time.
But if something happens to him, the first suspect is Mossad to Melania, because she's going after the same people that Epstein was protecting. And then Charlie Kirk, he spoke out. It's quite a litmus test. I'm wondering who in the Congress is going to be a chivalrous knight and pick up the gauntlet and protect our First Lady. Killing the president's one thing, but killing our First Lady? No way.
You know, I don't see that happening, but you never know, man. Weirder things have happened. Well, if that were to happen, I think you would see Trump unleashed because Barron and his mom are very close. And I heard parts of this theory on the No Agenda podcast. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'll let you guys. Basically, Melania going out there and saying all these women need to testify is sort of throwing down the gauntlet because there's a lot of these women who claim to be victims in the Epstein crime, whatever it is. Okay. They claim to be victims. They claim to be trafficked children, but they were older. They were looking for modeling contracts. They were over 18. It was sort of like what you see in the movies with Harvey Weinstein, the casting couch. Hey, you want a part in this movie? Boom, you gotta suck on Harvey Weinstein. And what I think the reason she said that, there's a lot of women who have come out and said, oh, I'm a victim, and especially the ones that attacked Trump and saying Trump was part of it, because there are some women that say that, and some women say they never saw him do anything bad. But the ones that are saying it also aren't really speaking out because they're saying they're under NDAs. So by her saying you have to go in front of Congress, you can look this up. If you're called in front of Congress to testify, you can break your NDA. So she's, I think, is basically calling out these women who are claiming to be victims, saying, hey, you all need to come march in front of Congress. You all need to answer questions, because we are kind of sick of what you're saying over and over again. Now, I believe we do have some real victims. The lady, I forget the lady's name, but we've had her on. I believe she's a victim. She was younger. There's a lot of other people who are victims in this, but I think there's a lot of people who jumped on the gravy train. They were involved with Epstein, and they're like, oh, this is a quick way to make some money. You could look up, you know, the settlements that Jamie Dimon paid out, millions in settlements to people, but it's all being blocked by NDAs. So how do you get around that? You call these people in to testify. Gloria Allred was saying, oh, yeah, we want people to come, but not by subpoena. They have to be invited. But by inviting them, you don't have to go. By subpoena, you have to go. You're compelled to go. And that's what we're not seeing. So, you know, if Congress is going to do something, subpoena every one of these people that claims to be a victim, get them up there under protection. They're under congressional protection. They can say whatever they want. They can't be sued for it after that. So I think that's one way to get around this and get the truth. I just want the truth. I don't care what the truth is. Give me the truth. I mean, I have some things that I think were going on, but I want the truth. All right, let's go to Marcus in Idaho. How's it going, Marcus?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say we elected Trump because we felt he had a vision that was greater than ours, that he could see something for America and see how to right the ship. And our ship, I mean, I think everybody would agree that we were in very bad straits, and Trump inherited a nation that was going very badly, and there's a lot behind it. Like you said, that takes a long time to turn that ship around. So he is really doing everything that he can for us, and he's had a crisis in the Middle East that had to be addressed, and he's addressing it. So I think that people are just too upset about that. I think that battle axe that was sent to Alex was a sign from God saying, hey, you know what? Trump is the battle axe, and you need to just get behind him and stop trying to beat him down.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. Over the weekend, we got in contact. I think the Sun contacted Harrison, the son of the guy. He saw Harrison's video that Harrison put up about it being a miracle, and people were saying, there's no way that happened. You know, that didn't happen. And, you know, I'll tell you how this happened, the whole battle axe thing. So that morning, it was after the show had started. So I'd say sometime between 11:30 and 12:15, the guy who runs our kind of our front office, the InfoWars store, he brought over this thing, and it was wrapped up, and I didn't even see what it looked like. He said, hey, some guy delivered this. It's a battle axe. Normally I don't bring these things over, but this is pretty interesting. So here, he handed it to me. I stuck it behind my desk, and it had the letter with it, and it was all wrapped up in like wool cloth, and it had these leather ties on it. So I stuck the letter in the ties. I didn't even read the letter. I just went on about my day. I think I was working on something for the show, like trying to get something edited. In fact, I was cutting together the Melania Trump back and forth on Epstein. So I got that out. And then I think that was that day. Everything kind of blends together. And then at one point I'm in the bathroom, and I come out of the bathroom, and I hear the black preacher talking about the battle axe, and Trump's got to be a battle axe. I'm like, wait a minute. He's saying battle axe? And I just grabbed it and walked over. And as I'm walking over to the studio, I'm untying it, pulling it out. And that's when I first even got a look at it. I'm like, wow, this is really nice. And I brought it to Jones. As I'm unwrapping it, I'm like, here, this guy just sent this in to us. So, and Jones says, oh, it happened like, it just was delivered 2 minutes ago. Well, it was delivered to the studio about 30 seconds before he talked about it. But to me, I had it maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember, but I hadn't even looked at it. And that when I read the letter on air, it was the first time I was reading it. And I actually couldn't even read. So the guy's got some very flowery handwriting. Yeah, it's one thing with older people my age and older have very interesting cursive writing, which is kind of hard to read nowadays. Now all I do is read, you know, printouts and stuff and typed out words. So now I'm looking at cursive and I'm like trying to decipher it because I thought it was Oklahoma, I think is what I said, is where he was from. But he's actually from Oregon. The K looked like a, the R looked like a K to me. But anyway, his son reached out to Harrison. And then his dad, who's the one who made the axe, put an account together and put it out there. And people were like, look, he just put this account together. Well, in that picture that he shows of the battle axe, there's like all these other old axes from that he's been building. Oh, yeah, we put all that together real quick so we could have some sort of dupe on the audience. No, that's not what happened. What happened is what happened. What you see on the air, me sitting down, look how I'm dressed. I'm not ready to go on the air. That's like my editing gear. But I saw that. I heard him talking about the battle axe. I knew we had just been delivered an axe. So I brought him like, and I didn't even talk like normally I would wait for the break to tell Alex about it. I said, nope, I'm going in. I'm busting in on the show. This is breaking news. And so that's how it happened right there. You can see how it happened. There's the letter. You can't, I could hardly, you know, I was able to make out something. But what's interesting is that his son was named I think he said Jeremiah, and I think the pastor was reading an excerpt of Jeremiah from the Bible. He was quoting Jeremiah, and his son was the one who said, just send it, Dad, because he had done it. He had made it already. It had been sitting at his house, and he hadn't sent it off, and his son just said, just send it off. And so by the time it makes it from Oregon, you know, with our shipping system into Austin, and then it sat around for a while, and then I guess he had contacted the front office somehow through the customer service line and said, hey, I see that y'all got the battle axe. Please give it to Alex. And so that guy brought it over, and that's how that happened. Now, all those pieces had to come together all at once. I didn't know that guy was going to be on that day. Like, that just all happened. And so what we do here is jazz musician. We're jazz musicians. We all know our jobs, but we don't know what's going to happen every day. So we have to be loose. We have to be ready. We have to be able to like change a pace, change a direction really quick. And that's an example of that right there with the battle axe arriving. And there I'm testing the edge. I'm like looking at that edge going, let's see how sharp that is. And I went up there and tested it. Every time I see a knife, I'm always testing the edge to see how sharp it is. Which, by the way, we have some pretty good knives on sale. And I'm just going to turn this into a plug. When you see things like that, you have to go, wow, there's a reason InfoWars is still around. And it's to show people that when people work together, you know, amazing things can happen. A synergy happens. So keep supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. When we shut down, we're not going to be selling InfoWars.com logos and stuff like that. So check out the shirts that are still there, 1776 shirts that are amazing. Check those out. We have the low IQ hat and I believe a shirt. We've also got the InfoWars cooler bundle, $79.99. I checked out the cooler. It's like what you would see, and I'm not sure if it's the exact same, what's it called, the insulation as a Yeti, but it feels like it. It definitely feels it's got a Yeti feel to it. I used to have one of those little coolers. And let me tell you another thing you can do with those coolers. You can use them as a carry-on bag. So if you're going to the beach or you're flying somewhere to meet some friends, then you got a cooler already with you. You don't have to go find a cooler for your drinks. Why, you know, you got one there. So check it out, InfoWarsStore.com, or TheAlexJonesStore.com. Sorry, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Everything is 60% off today only. Check it out. Support us. We need your support. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.